Welcome to this first lesson. This three sheets on the topic God, right? Then on the outside you have one sheet like that, three pages on the definition of God. And then you have this one sheet here with four pages on the application of the attributes of God. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray and ask that thou would guide us as we would search thy word to consider this very important topic of defining what is God. Lord, may thy spirit come and help, illumine, guide us, that we may find understanding out of thy word. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen. When the church 400 years ago tried to come together after the Reformation to put together the creed of the Christian faith, they were moved by the King in England to come together to organize a group of godly men, theologians of the Bible, in order to put together a summary of the Christian faith. Now, when you study your Bible, you find that you have 66 books. Right? As you study it, like what we are doing, reading through the Bible in 1 year, this is called biblical theology. Right, we study the truth of God's word as it is being expounded, as it is being explained. Your wife? Kingwa? Your wife? Yeah. And when this group of men were gathered together, they were confounded with a question of how to define God. And this group of men today is known as the Westminster Assembly of Divines. And that was in the year in the 1600s when this group of men came together, and one of the greatest challenge they have is in giving the definition of God. And the definition of God is a most crucial definition. If you look at this sheet of paper here, the second one that I have distributed, the story came upon all the men who were assembled there, and they said, how to define God? It is too great a task for us to do. And so what they did was that they got all the men who were gathered there to all pray, and they assigned this task to the youngest man in the group, and his name was called George Gillespie. And George Gillespie was given the task of making a definition for God. And so when all of them bowed in deep humility in prayer, this youngest member of the Westminster Council would make that attempt. Right? Our text tells us that he modestly declined, then reluctantly consented. But he asked that all the brethren unite with him in prayer for divine enlightenment. And when they all prayed, he uttered these words, O God, thou art a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in thy being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. When he stopped his prayer, the first sentence of his prayer was immediately written by one of his brethren and read and adopted as the most perfect answer that could be conceived, as indeed, in a sacred sense, God's own answer. Given in prayer, given to prayer, descriptive of himself. And so this man was a young man, but God used him to give the definition of God. And what is this definition? Well, the Lord wants us to see, right, that God is a spirit. First of all, he explains, right, that unlike God, right, we are just a in the body, corporeal being, but God is described as an incorporeal being. He's a spirit. It's different from us, right? And what else is God different? God is infinite. It speaks of the magnitude of his being. It's infinite. And eternal, it speaks about time frame, that he is beyond time. He's above time. He's eternal. Time cannot constrain him. And that he is unchangeable. Now, if you were to look at this third sheet that you have, I told you the application, you'll be able to see in the front page what is described here as the incommunicable attributes of God. What are these? That these are the attributes of God that belongs only to him. All right? We are not, in the sense, spirit being. Right? We have a body, and God made us with a body, with a physical existence. And then we are finite. Finite as in, you know, we exist for a while and then we are gone. And we are temporal. We are temporal. If you look at the notes there. And we are changeable, right? But God, in his attribute, is different, right? He's a spirit that is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, right? In who he is. Right? God is different from us in that he is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in who he is. The being of God. And then he's also described in six other attributes, right? He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his wisdom. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his power. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his holiness. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his justice. It is his infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his goodness. His infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his truth. And so if you were to look at it, you'll be able to see and find, right, and how this definition of God is so all-encompassing. Right? Now, we have adopted it in our constitution. The Westminster Confession of Faith as the best enunciation of the truth of the Bible in the English language. And so we put it as a part of our constitution, right, that this is a part of what we understand from the Word of God to be a definition, right, of who God is. And the Westminster Confession of Faith gives a description of all the aspects of the faith that needs to be articulated topically. Right? Topically means that it is searched through, right? For example, in the topic of God, right? All the Bible verses related to the character of God is summed up and put together in a summary form so that we will be able to know, so that we would be able to understand who this God is. Isn't that important? That the people of God must know who their God is. And this first lesson brings us to understand a most important topic. What is God? And I submit to you, right, that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And I would ask you to memorize the definition of God. How many of you have a knowledge of this definition? Is this the first time you're seeing it? Right. Now, this is something that you need to know. Right? You need to be able to understand the truth concerning the Christian faith. And, you know, the more you search the scriptures, the more you will be grounded to know God and his mind, and that it will help you concerning how we would live our lives. And so we are thankful to God for a man of God who is able to define for us who God is. And you see, when we look at the first definition, right, we say that God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. What do you want to understand by that? Right? That God has his existence. Right? He is that uncaused, first cause. He is there from the beginning of no beginning, God. And the Lord wants us to know, right, that indeed this is, you know, a most important knowledge, because God is invisible. You can't see him. How do you define him? But God revealed himself to us through his word. And it is from his word that when we are able to analyze it, synthesize it, that we are able to put together the truth concerning who he is. And therefore, we want us to take time to understand, right, who is God? What is God? Right, that he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. And if you look at the last page of your notes, right, the first or the third sheet, the first one, this one, page 4. The knowledge of the invisible God, right, our spiritual rebirth. Meaning that, you know, if you know, you can't know God except God would open your spiritual eyes to acknowledge and to know him. Right? So this first thing that we would like us to see is that the knowledge of God must lead us, right, to have a spiritual birth. Meaning that to have that relationship with this God that is being described here, right, and is infinite, eternal, unchangeable also in his wisdom. Right? God is wise. If you need wisdom, go to him for instruction. You know, for a young couple who is getting married, how are they to order the husband-wife relationship? How are they to order the home that they are to build, right, when children come? How do you bring up children? Well, if you go to God and his word, you'll find God giving you a blueprint concerning what you ought to do. And then, you know, the prospective husband, the wife, will be confronted with a question. Between mother and wife, who do you choose? Real question. Mother first or wife first? Ah. Well.
Depends on the situation.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So the question is asked, right, and we discussed this during our church camp, right, concerning this critical, important questions that, you know, one of the conflicts in the house, right, is between the husband, wife, father or mother-in-law relationship. But if we don't have the right principles to anchor our marriage and our relationship, our interaction, you'll find that you'll be tossed. Now, the Bible tells us that when a man is married, he leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife. Like between him and the wife, they will be one body. That means they will not be separated in any way. And so the man becomes the head of a new home. And he is to exercise headship in leading his wife. The wife is now under his care. So we ought to be able to see, right, that relationship. Of course, it doesn't mean that, you know, the son will now dishonor their parents. But you have to see that fine line of principle when you need to make a decision what to do, how to act. You'll find that if you were to follow the word of God, God will take care of the rest for you. And it was one reason how one of our brethren in Christ was convicted to the truth of God when he understood this wisdom. And from then on, you know, you find him searching the scriptures all the time to find Bible verses to answer his questions of life. What does God say? Because he knew that when he does this, it works. He looked at his wife, he looked at his mother, and whenever he practiced the principle, he's able to bring peace to the family. Very important. The cleaving of the husband and the wife, the honoring of the parents, these are God's laws that they are to act and implement. But if you are without God's word, then you don't know how to act. Marriage falls apart easily. If you have observed these relationships, you know what I'm talking about. God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his wisdom. And therefore, God wants us to take time to know him, study his word, know the wisdom out of his word to order our lives. And God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his power. What is so important about the power of God? Well, he's able to help you. There would be no problem that is too big in your life that God cannot solve, that there is no answer. In a sense that God would provide you with the wisdom, with the power to carry out that wisdom. Now, if you talk but you don't have the authority to carry out the mandate of your words, it's as good as empty words, right? But our God is different. He has the power to carry out His word. And the Bible tells us that He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His power. That God's power is great. And God wants us to know of His power. That He is able to solve the problems of life that comes our way. And God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His holiness. Now today there is that movement going on. We call the LGBT, homosexual, lesbian, man-to-man, woman-to-woman relationship. How that is a perversion of God's order, and how a person who is involved in this, you know, I was just talking to a brethren and he gives this statistics. He says that the average one man has 500 partners, is not satisfied, and many of them go nuts in their mind. And many of them do terrible things. The Orlando killings. Right? A man who is perverted. The mind cannot be ordered because it's in great disorder. And the Lord tells us that, you know, this is not a genetic disorder, but is simply a sin that can be repented of. And if you would tell the person to come in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can be saved. But if he would not, right, you find that this union, right, takes a toll on the person. Body and soul. Imagine this sexual union. Terrible. It involves the whole being. And the Lord tells us, if we are a child of God, that we would keep our bodies pure for Him. So God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His holiness. Right? God made us pure, washed us clean from our sinful ways, and He gives to us holiness in our lives. And God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice. And what does it mean to us? To be just means to be right, to be equitable, to be fair. Right? Now, in the world that we live in, right, we know that oftentimes we face injustice, right? Oppression, right, as Solomon said, right? Facing men. Men uses their might and bully and oppress the weak. And oftentimes you find no solution. But if you know a God that is in overall in charge, and in control of the world, right, that is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice, then you know that, you know, every wrong, right, God knows, and that you can count upon Him to right a wrong where you can't. And so it's our hope. Right? When you are in an office situation, I have one brother, I was preaching in one of the churches, and he came up to me at the end of the sermon and said, you know, I'm facing trouble in my workplace. I'm in a terrible state. I'm oppressed. I'm ostracized in my office. And I said to him that, you know, as a child of God, you pray and ask God to help you, strengthen you to be able to take the blows of the injustices and ask God to deliver you. And I met him again, perhaps a year later. I went back there to share the word of God. And he came up and said, God delivered me. I looked to the Lord and trusted in him. His justice prevailed. You know? So we have a God. If you know God, this invisible God, then when you are facing oppression, you are facing injustices, you know how to respond in the right way. Our hope. There is hope in your heart. You know, you will not be drawn to despair and to totally give up hope and give up life. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his goodness. Right? To know that God bestows benefits on us. The things that we received, the rain, the sunshine from the Lord. Yeah, and he provides for us, you know, all the material comforts of this life. Right? That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall have no lack. So someone said, why don't you translate it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall have no need. You mean God only meet your need? God is not gracious enough to meet your want, you know, in the sense that we have a good God, right, who satisfies you fully, you know, in the right way, in a good way. And that's why, you know, the King James translator rightly translate, the Lord is my shepherd. If you have God taking care of you like a shepherd to the sheep, you will have no lack. I shall not want. Beautiful, isn't it? That's the picture of God's care in our lives. The goodness of God. That's why the psalmist says, my cup overfloweth. Overflow means what? God blessed him so much, right, that he has a cup full, not only full, but overflowing. Right? So whatever overflow, it overflows to someone else. You have more than enough. So, you see, the Lord wants us to know that we serve a good God. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his goodness. The goodness of God, you know, cannot be limited in any way. And so if you know such a good God, would you not be happy to know that he takes care of you? That his goodness comes to you, you know, with infinite, eternal measure. That's a wonderful knowledge, isn't it? To know that although, you know, you have to live life, right? and face hardness in life, and yet you know that you have a good God who is taking care of you, right? As we said today in our text, in our sermon, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And God knows you. God cares for you so much that he knows, you know, if you have one, you lose one hair. In that sense, he is aware, right, that you are not so complete, and he would, you know, endeavor to make you more complete. And so it's so wonderful to know this God, right, of His goodness and of His truth. Our submission to know who God is and to submit to His ways. Right, yesterday in our cottage meeting, we were learning about biblical contentment. Right. Not to pursue relentlessly after the material things of this world, but learn what is biblical contentment. And that's a truth that we learn from the Word of God, that God would want us to submit to. And He gives us His laws. You know, when you obey the laws of God, God will bless you. But if you disobey the law of God, you receive judgment. Whether you like it or not, the laws of God are here to stay. It is the universal order that He has placed for mankind. And when we live right according to the truth, the laws of God, we are submitted to His ways. You are protected by His laws and you flourish in your life. And the Lord wants us all to flourish in our life. So, this truth that God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in His incommunicable attributes, right, which is this stated here, how He is a spirit, how He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, and His communicable attributes, His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Now, all of this, God wants us to know that these are communicable attributes that God gives to us when we take time to cultivate our souls. God's wisdom comes to you. You know how to order your life. You know how to, you have the wisdom to, how to interact with your children. Right. And so the Lord wants you to know Him. And this is just a beginning, right? To know this God. And each one of them you see in your text has a Bible verse, all right, attached to it. Many different verses. I made a study with a youth group. This is just a summary. We spent 9 weeks, 9 hours studying the attributes of God, where we went into all the Bible verses, right, from the Word of God related to each one of the attributes of God. And so you're reading the Bible in 1 year. As you come to various aspects of the text, in where you are reading, you'll find that, you know, it talks about God here. What about God it is talking about? You'll be able to categorize it. It is here. Right? And it would show you various aspects of the various categories of God's attribute, God's character. And you'll find it very interesting. Because the more you know God, the more He would bless your life as you yield yourself to His leading for your life. And so, we begin with a study of God because it is the most important of all study. You know, we all spend time trying to study many things, and we would spend a lifetime studying all these things. But the most important of all knowledge is a knowledge of God, which will lead us to the knowledge of men. And God wants us to know Him. All right, we shall cover a little bit more about God, so you bring this with you next week before we go on to the study of man. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy in leading us in the study of this basic theology. Oh Lord, I pray that the knowledge of Thee would open our spiritual eyes to help us to live better for Thee. Oh God, may Thy wisdom come upon Thy people for Thy own mercy's sake. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.